KRLP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Gretchen Cochran with your WSLR news headlines for January 2nd, 2026. More than half of Florida is suffering from drought, including Sarasota and Manatee counties. So we have year-round water restrictions for all sources and are limited to watering lawns to once a week. A water shortage is expected through July. Meanwhile, most of us in the Sarasota and Manatee County areas have grass that is turning brown. IFAS/University of Florida says it's nothing to worry about. Our grass rests in the winter. Instead of overwatering or fertilizing, mow the grass a little taller, water less often, abstain from weed and feed products, and avoid walking on cold or frosty grass. The tribe that is currently suing the government over Alligator Alcatraz Immigration Detention Center near its lands in the Everglades has just been denied protection of several of its villages there. President Donald J. Trump has vetoed a bill that would have protected several Miccosukee villages, citing the tribe's opposition to federal and state immigration policies as a key reason for the decision. The bill had support from Florida's U.S. senators and aimed to protect one of the villages from flooding risks. In the veto, Trump said the tribe has actively sought to obstruct reasonable immigration policies that the American people decisively voted for when I was elected. By April, SNAP recipients in Sarasota and Manatee counties will no longer be able to use their food stamps to buy some high sugar products like candy or even energy drinks, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. 18 states, including Florida, will implement changes to the federal Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program in 2026. The USDA said in a statement the move, quote, is empowering states with greater flexibility to manage their programs by restricting non-nutritious items like soda and candy. This has been Gretchen Cochran with your WSLR news headlines for January 2nd, 2026.
Next on What's the Frequency, Kenneth?
Working together, we have the potential to be one of the most consequential congresses in the history of this great nation.
So, say goodbye to 2025.
So long as we work together, we do the right thing, and we put America first.
And say hello to 2026.
Look, this president. And this Republican Congress had a mandate, and that was to lower prices. And to lower prices on day one.
I'm Paul Fisher.
And when I talk to Californians, you know, going to war with Venezuela or Nigeria or Syria, that ranks about 200th on their priority list. They just want to see the cost of buying a home, buying groceries, supporting their family to come down. And this president and this Republican Congress are 0 for 350. And in fact, people get that sometimes candidates on the stump make promises and they can't fulfill them. That happens all the time. But what the president has done and what Republicans have done is the exact opposite. They didn't just make a promise and not fulfill it. They did the opposite of the promise. They put tariffs in place that have raised the cost. And these guys, they love to say, oh, we brought Merry Christmas back. Well, there is nothing merry this Christmas season about having to pay more to buy gifts for your families. It's not as if there was, you know, a big surprise that, you know, we'd be seeking these documents. And in fact, the Attorney General had referenced about 8 months ago that SDNY, where these documents have just been found, had documents that she wasn't aware of back then.
DOJ's slow drip of document drops from the Epstein files could take even longer. The Justice Department says it just discovered that there may be more than a million documents it didn't know about. At the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, as well as documents at the FBI. You may wonder how that's possible, since DOJ is the parent agency of both. You may also wonder how that squares with previous claims by AG Pam Bondi and FBI Director Kash Patel in July. When they insisted there was nothing new to see and no one new to investigate.
We're telling you exactly what there is to be released. The FBI witness interviews, the emails. This is not about did they release enough documents or did they release them on time. This is not some kind of legalese jargon of some complex lawsuit. There are some very simple documents we're asking for. The interviews with these survivors, with the FBI agents, the 302 forms, and the emails that Epstein took. And I believe once those are there, you're going to see a horrible picture in this country where rich and powerful people basically abused working class girls. Often girls who were daughters of immigrants, and they did it with impunity.
No one should be surprised that Trump's reaction to the new troves of Epstein files was to call on DOJ to stop investigating Epstein files and investigate something worthwhile instead. Like his grievances about elections being stolen from him.
Just imagine if you're a career prosecutor and you went to the Department of Justice, you know, to put bad guys away. Stop public corruption. Fight terrorism. And now you find yourself scrubbing through, you know, a million documents to keep the president's name, you know, redacted and disconnected from the world's most notorious child sex trafficker. That's what DOJ lawyers and FBI agents are doing right now. But to the earlier question, yes, every member of the Judiciary Committee, every Republican, every Democrat voted to release these documents and to have them in our hands yesterday. Not today, not tomorrow, yesterday. They were supposed to be in our hands so that we could stand up for victims and to make sure that we know the names of the people who enabled Jeffrey Epstein. They have not done that yet, so here's what we can do. We can restrict funding to the Department of Justice. Of course, we can bring officials in under inherent contempt. But also, what we can do is we can bring them in for hearings. And I would recommend that's the best thing that we could do, is to have a public account and to put them in the witness chair and ask, just where the hell are these files and why are you keeping Donald Trump's name to the degree that you are out of them?
I mean, there are a lot of prominent financiers, prominent lawyers, politicians who were on Epstein's Island. Some of them actually abused these underage girls. Some of them trafficked with girls. Some of them watched as 13 and 14-year-olds were paraded around these parties. And we also know from the survivors that a number of them were told, don't call the police, nothing is going to happen. You can't call the FBI, nothing will happen. By the way, one of the documents released shows literally that was true. There was a 1996 complaint that Maria placed, and the FBI did nothing.
A president who wants a Nobel Peace Prize and preaches America first, there's a lot of action to the contrary. From gunboat diplomacy off Venezuela to retaliation against ISIS in Syria. Killing two U.S. service members and a civilian interpreter. To the strike against ISIS for attacking Christians in Nigeria. DOD released video of the missile launches. And video surfaced of people on the receiving end. Nigeria cooperated in the strikes. Unlike Trump, Nigeria says ISIS isn't targeting Christians. It's targeting anyone, including Muslims, who oppose ISIS ideology. Missiles into Ukraine in a Christmas attack that cut power and heat to large parts of the city, just as President Zelensky headed to a meeting at Mar-a-Lago with Trump. With a stop first in Canada, which promised another $2.5 billion in aid.
That requires a willing Russia. And the barbarism that we saw overnight, the attack on Kyiv, shows just how important it is that we stand with Ukraine during this difficult time. And that we create the conditions for this just and lasting peace and a true reconstruction. And I want to underscore something that has happened in recent weeks, is that the development of that possibility under your leadership. And also the prospect of true prosperity for the Ukrainian people. I'll just finish with one point on Canada. We've provided military assistance, further military assistance. We're announcing today further economic assistance for Ukraine. $2.5 billion worth of economic assistance. That helps unlock financing from the IMF, from the World Bank, from the European Bank for Reconstruction and Development.
Images of Putin continuing to remind us that this is a war of aggression as Putin, mercilessly pounds Kyiv and civilian homes. This is Putin.
He's hitting a
reminding
complex.
Right, he's reminding us that we can't be for this. America, when we address the issue of whose side we're on, you can't be America first and be pro-Russia. Russia is a self-declared adversary of the United States, and here they are mercilessly killing Ukrainians and trying to take Ukrainian land. So the president has rightly said we need to end this war. But when he goes for peace, Russia wants Ukrainian land. Ukrainians have unbelievably risen to prevent Russia from taking their land. Zelensky has led them for that.
Thank you.
he meets Zelensky, he's meeting a man who has led his country against Russian aggression. So in this peace process, you know, as Russia wants Ukrainian concessions, it's going to be much more difficult. Ukraine wants, of course, assurances that Russia's not going to come back, that the West is going to give them the assurances that they will deter Russia in the future, and that's going to be difficult. To give the type of assurances that the West is going to rise to the occasion to keep Russia from just reassembling and coming back stronger.
Zelensky's peace proposals now include Ukraine pulling back from some areas and Russia doing it too, to create a demilitarized zone. Zelensky says key provisions could be put to the voters in Ukraine. While Russia has not agreed to any concessions, only to Ukraine conceding land to Russia. Yet again, Trump had a phone call with Putin right before the meeting with Zelensky. Trump and Zelensky talked of progress after the meeting at Mar-a-Lago. Progress on security guarantees for Ukraine to prevent another Russian attack.
We discussed all the aspects of the peace framework. Which includes, and we have great achievements, 20-point peace plan, 90% agreed, and U.S.-Ukraine security guarantees, 100% agreed. U.S.-Europe-Ukraine security guarantees, almost agreed. Military dimension, 100% agreed. Prosperity plan being finalized, and we also discussed the sequencing of the following actions. And we agree that security guarantees is the key milestone in achieving lasting peace.
But again, no word that Russia had agreed on that, or on territory, or the demand to control Ukraine's Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, the largest in Europe. Made it even more of an eye roll moment when Trump said this.
Who are you with? Andrea Shalal with Reuters.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So, in your conversation with President Putin, did you discuss what responsibility Russia will have for any kind of reconstruction of Ukraine post?
I did. I did. They're going to be helping. Russia's going to be helping. Russia wants to see Ukraine succeed. Once it sounds a little strange. I was explaining to the president, President Putin was very generous in his feeling toward Ukraine succeeding. including supplying energy, electricity, and other things at very low prices. So a lot of good things came out of that call today. But they were in the works for 2 weeks with Steve and with Jared and Marco and everybody.
Continued one day later with Israel's prime minister.
Get me out. Skyscraper, heartache, let me down. Left, right, all around, no tree branch to hold me sound.
Netanyahu and Trump had very little new to say about Gaza.
All I see is broken glass. All I see is plastic. All I see is pesticides. All I see is...
But several times Trump issued new threats against Iran.
Grateful, I'm alive, but city life brings excitement, a yearn for simplicity, a fear of monotony, a whisper for humanity, a catchcall to society, a sock for the shoe, a lace for the bunny.
Now I hear that Iran is trying to build up again, and if they are, we're going to have to knock them down.
A brush for the tangles, a razor for the dead ends, a hat for the hair day, a dress
we'll knock them down.
Runway, a frame for the hallway, a rail for the staircase.
Knock the hell out of them, but hopefully that's not happening.
Skyscraper, heartache, let me down. Lift right all around.
Mr. President, will you support an attack, Israeli attack on Iran, if Iran will not have a deal? If Iran will continue with their ballistic missiles and also nuclear weapons?
All I see is plastic. All I see is pesticides. All I see is tile.
If they will continue with the missiles, yes, the nuclear, fast. Okay, one will be yes, absolutely. The other was, we'll do it immediately.
Pushed up the sign, he scripted the scroll. The line. Who blows the whistle? Who blows the brakes? Who signals the turn? Who honked the donkey? Who kissed the frog?
Hello, I'm Dan Rather, and you're listening to What's the Frequency, Kenneth? With musical host Paul Fisher in New York City.
We have a flash flood warning that is in effect for the Santa Barbara South Coast as we are looking at rainfall rates closer to an inch per hour. That's a lot of water in a short amount of time. Flash flood swept through homes in Wrightwood as heavy rain pounded the area, triggering debris flow.
California got a foot of rain for Christmas. With Laura on the way.
San Bernardino County Fire going door to door to evacuate residents trapped by the water.
Tonight, desperate search and rescue efforts underway in San Bernardino County. A powerful Christmas storm unleashing dangerous mud flows through the mountain town of Wrightwood. Water, mud, and debris sweeping through streets, swallowing cars, and flooding homes.
Along Highway 2, a raging river of mud, rocks, and debris cut off access to and from the mountain community. Firefighters help motorists trapped in their vehicles while responding to calls for swift water rescue.
Authorities now ordering residents to shelter in place.
In the town center, it looked like a river. It didn't even look like a street anymore.
The Fletcher family hunkering down without power.
It's pretty dark. We have our Christmas tree.
The full extent of damage still unknown as the town is considered almost inaccessible.
It's been tough for even rescuers to get in there. Roads in and out have been blocked by these mud and debris flows.
Whole cars being underwater.
In Oak Glen, it wasn't flooding, but strong winds that brought a pine tree crashing down on the dining hall at Pilgrim Pines Campground. Kristen Lucero, the camp's kitchen manager, was preparing Christmas dinner when it happened.
All of a sudden, big gush of wind, and then I see the trees waving, and boom, that fell.
Lucero says her daughter, who was inside at the time, was not injured, but the damage was significant. The dining hall has now been red tagged.
I mean, the roof caved in, the freezer caved in, and there's holes in the roof, so it's flooding in the kitchen right now.
House is just being kind of destroyed by so much water.
Very dark. While shooting video of a power outage in Burbank, we suddenly witnessed a three-car crash. Calling 911. Fortunately, no injuries. Everyone seemed okay.
It happened so fast. Lights are out, and it just, yeah.
More rounds of rain still ahead this Christmas. A search and rescue teams in San Bernardino County race against time.
Right now, we're still going door to door and trying to account for everybody that's in the area. I don't have any official reports of anybody that is missing at this time.
Hey!
Hello!
Is that unbelievable or what?
I think the bridge is gone.
Most of it is, and part of the road. We just went through his
concrete. We ain't getting out of here every day.
That container is at risk over there now.
Yeah, if that container comes down and blocks it here.
Oh, this is super bad.
Thousands of people were traveling on the 5.
Looking for a solid space.
Getting home for Christmas, getting home from Christmas, I should say.
Time is eating, it's haunted.
When a officials shut down the freeway. Because of this ruptured gas line that happened around 4:20 this afternoon. Now, LA County Sheriff's deputies say this was caused by a mudslide, but fire officials say they are still investigating the cause. You might still smell some gas in the air. Fire officials say that's because this gas line is miles long and there's still gas that needs to make its way out of the pipe, again, which is miles long.
From Southern California to the Pacific Northwest through New Year's.
PG&E says 21,000 homes and businesses were without power at one point this morning. That number is now down to about 12,500. This comes just days after that fire at a substation in San Francisco wiped out power to about a third of the homes and businesses in San Francisco. Some were in the dark for 3 days. We're going to keep you posted on this latest situation in Saratoga.
Here I am, feet on the ground, watching the bright copper leak.
As crews work to restore power.
Rion Gongat is a senior meteorologist for PG&E.
We have one or two storms like this every couple of years or so, producing this potential type of outage.
One more here, that's what I said, start it all over again.
This one is a little bit more unique because we have two weather systems coming in over the next couple of days.
Looks like there might be an outage up here near Eureka.
I'm on the ground today, but I won't stay if I catch wind.
Where the weather's going through right now?
Up in your atmosphere, it's bright.
And so once weather goes through, you can almost kind of like Christmas lights. You see the weather come through, and then all of a sudden you start seeing a lot more outages pop up on the screen.
But no, you can't blame it on El Nino.
Think it off, rattles the cage of my chest with a cough as the spirit within me.
Since around Thanksgiving, western states have been hit with historic rain and flooding, triggered by wave after wave of atmospheric rivers.
Again, and if I fall, I'm really glad that you answered the call. I'm the white paper.
Tropical moisture picked up and delivered by jet streams to the U.S. West.
Burn sky. I'm on the ground today, but I won't stay.
They've been getting bigger, wetter, and more frequent as the climate changes.
Your atmosphere is bright and clear, Valencia and blue.
Adding to the mess, the danger of rock and mudslides because of all the burn scars from western wildfires. The lack of trees and plants to soak up the water and help hold the soil in place.
We're actively monitoring with San Bernardino County Public Works the drainage systems, the retention areas.
As we run to catch up with the vanishing dream and the bus doors close.
In any areas that have been affected by any burn scars, the El Dorado burn scar, Lion Fire burn scar, and the Bridge Fire burn scar.
That vapor dome from the sky is more than enough to send actual rivers spilling over their banks.
If you look around the community of Tillamook, you're going to see a lot of this.
Ghosts in the air, can't you see? We're already there.
Thank you.
that are now small oceans because of all of the floodwaters. With residents who have lived here, they say that the flooding that they're witnessing, some of the worst they've seen in years.
I've never seen it like this, ever.
Flooding and road closures is all you're going to find in Tillamook.
We came right through here, came through our carport, came across the side of the house, came on the other side of the house. You can see it dug out all under the carport.
Rob Hudson says the river itself was flowing underneath his home, dragging debris through his carport, dislodging his drain pipe, and even getting inside the home as it continued to rise.
The whole street turned into the river, basically.
It's really strange seeing everybody go around and take detours and, you know, figure out their way around, because you don't know until you get there that you can't go that way. So that's what I'm out exploring.
Parts of Highway 101 are unpassable, cutting off one section of town from the other.
It always blocks off all the roads. You know, I always get a moat around my house, especially right here next to the river. You know. Tons of mud, you know, prevents me from going to work, but I got paid time off and everything.
While he spent Thursday sandbagging the back of his son's home as well, it's still flooded as water ended up coming through the front. Across the way, the water running right into Bill Madden's garage.
Came right up to there. So we just missed the drywall.
Madden owns Barton Antique Mall and says thousands of dollars worth of product has been destroyed.
Yeah, pure devastation. And you come here and you look at it and you, where do I start?
But luckily, this family heirloom, a 1960 Rolls Royce, was mostly spared.
Still got some great blue plot in there for you.
Has your property been impacted at all?
Our property has not, thank God. But the ones that have, like, I saw somebody shoveling water out of their house on my drive around, and it just broke my heart.
When speaking with Tillamook County Emergency Management, they are warning drivers to follow all road closures, adding they rescued five drivers this morning.
I mean, if they had a way to not make it flood in front of, like, Papa Murphy's, Rosenberg's, all that, you know, if they had a way to, I don't know, just not make it pool
and
up.
Further
so
down
bad,
Paradise
nice.
Road, Larry Cross's cabin flooded out.
When I got home at 1, I said, no problem, I'll spend the night here. Deal with it tomorrow. But then, you know, as 2 or 3 more hours went on, and you watched the water come up, and then Noah changed the recording, and then I got some calls from people who had been down here for 30, 40 years, and they said, hey, you know, They thought Noah was spot on, but I mean, it seemed like a... impossible, based on what you were seeing.
NOAA data has the river reaching more than 26 feet overnight.
Probably between a foot and a foot and a half.
Krause says it was a mad dash to get everything up off the floor.
Panic is what it was. Really out of it was just...
The water's still very high near his home Friday afternoon.
Now, the people that I spoke with add that although this flooding has put a bit of a damper on their holiday season, they know that themselves and their fellow residents are going to get through it.
Here in the Northeast, the post-Christmas weather had a bit more variety. A snowstorm followed by an ice storm, a sleet storm, a rainstorm, a warm-up, and a refreeze in time for New Year's.
I,
Zoran Kwame Mamdani,
Zoran Kwame Mamdani,
do solemnly swear,
do solemnly swear,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
that I will support the Constitution of the United States,
the Constitution of the State of New York,
the Constitution of the State of New York,
and the Charter of the City of New York,
and the Charter of the City of New York,
and that I will faithfully discharge,
and that I will faithfully discharge,
the duties of,
the duties of,
the office of,
the office of,
the Mayor of the City of New York,
the Mayor of the City of New York,
according to the best of my ability,
according to the best of my ability,
so help me God,
so help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. Mayor.
After Mayor Mamdani's New Year's swearing-in at a private ceremony at the abandoned Old City Hall subway station.
And after just having taken my oath to become the mayor of the City of New York, I do so also here in the Old City Hall subway station. A testament to the importance of public transit, to the vitality, the health, and the legacy of our city.
Bernie Sanders is making the most of the new year.
It is not radical to say that we should have the best child care system in the world if we believe in our kids. And if we believe in the future of this country.
Starting with swearing Mamdani in later at the public ceremony.
It's not radical to say that we should have efficient and fast and free bus service. Show that we're all one. These are not radical ideas.
Sanders also busy weighing in on artificial intelligence on CNN.
This is the most consequential technology in the history of humanity.
Got a new job today.
It will transform our country. It will transform the world.
With suits and shoes and socks and everything paid.
And we have not had in Congress, in the media, and I'm glad you're doing this show. Or among the American people, the kind of discussion that we need. Some examples. First of all, who is pushing this revolution in technology?
Myself. I feel better about myself since I got this weird new vocation.
It is the richest people in the world. Elon Musk, Zuckerberg.
I feel better about myself since I got this.
Bezos, Peter Thiel.
Vocation. I even increased the size of my home.
Multi-billionaires are pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into implementing and developing this technology. What is their motive? Do you think they're staying up nights worrying about working people? And how this technology will impact those people, they are not. They are doing it to get richer. And even more powerful. That's issue number one. Who is pushing this technology? What does that mean for all of us? Number two, economically.
We all used to dress the same.
This is what Elon Musk, putting hundreds of billions of dollars into the technology, says. Quote,
we all used to dress the same.
AI and robots will replace all jobs.
We all used to dress the same.
Working will be optional. End quote. Bill Gates, hundreds of billions of dollars into this technology, quote, humans won't be needed for most things. Well, I got a simple question. If there are no jobs and humans won't be needed for most things, how do people get an income to feed their families, to get health care, or to pay the rent? There's not been one serious word of discussion in the Congress about that reality. Issue number three. Studies out there tell us what we all know to be true. Young people now are spending an enormous amount of time with AI. There are kids who are now getting most of their emotional support from AI. If this trend continues, what does it mean over the years? When people are not getting their support, their interaction from other human beings, but from a machine. What does that mean to humanity? And maybe last but not least, I did a symposium at Georgetown with Jeffrey Hinton, who is considered to be the godfather, Nobel Prize winner of AI. He thinks that AI is soon going to be smarter than human beings.
So the science fiction fear of AI running the world is not quite so outrageous a concept as people may have thought it was. Those are some of the issues that are out there.
There is another view of AI's current status. In some ways, just as grim. In this one, huge investments in AI are what's keeping the whole U.S. economy afloat. But it's a bubble that's about to burst. Because artificial intelligence still isn't all that smart. It makes mistakes. It makes things up. Or as the tech experts call it, AI hallucinations. It also tells people to do bad things. All told, businesses can't really rely on it, and so far it's not making them any money. Soundbites on the program, you can go to the program's Facebook page. What's the frequency, Paul? I'm Paul Fisher.
Tick-tocking away. Close your eyes, there goes another day. Time makes some women sisters, makes some women mothers. Time makes some men fathers, makes some men brothers. And I sit here and I worry. I sit here and I wonder whether time will make a lonely old man in the park feeding pigeons on a Thursday afternoon out of me. Time keeps tick-tocking away. Close your eyes, there goes.
Host of Democracy Now!, you're listening to WSLR-LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV-LP.